Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with Gregory Copley, editor and publisher of Defense and Foreign Affairs. Antony Blinken, the Secretary of State, in a visit to Beijing, conversation with leading Chinese diplomats and with the General Secretary of the Chinese Communist Party in his third term, Xi Jinping, looking to make positive steps. However, this was the first visit by a Secretary of State in 5 years. Right now, we're waiting for more information, but there is reason to believe that China is no longer the rising power of these last 20 years, that China's economy is badly in debt to itself, and that the consumer class has put the money back under the mattress or wherever is appropriate in Chinese lore, and the property market is still collapsing. In other words, we're not dealing with someone, with an organization that is looking at economic need and answering appropriately. We're dealing with an ideology that has convinced itself its role is supreme, that will be the new supremacy. However, there is reason to doubt, and that reason has to do with China's inability to keep the neighborhood from turning on it. Right now, they're surrounded by what you'd have to say is very well-organized enterprises, such as Japan, putting sophisticated missiles. I think they have 400 Tomahawk missiles on their islands to defend them from a possible Chinese attack. Australia, Gregory's here to talk about AUKUS all the time. India is not pleased with China's aggression in the Himalayas. You follow along. There are other countries that are participating. Right now, Vietnam is challenging China's efforts to encroach in the South China Sea. All of this adds up to what is to be done with China's ambition and what is the new world order. And there's the question. Gregory, I surrounded the subject to come to it. China's no longer supreme here. We're watching it be qualified in all instances. What does the new world order look like if China's not going to be the cop on the beat?
Well, that's what we don't know. The new world order is unlikely to be anything like the last two world orders, if you like. We've seen this progression towards a global sense of a world order since the Treaty of Westphalia in 1648. But really, we saw two great global dominating orders. One was Pax Britannica, and that was moved seamlessly into Pax Americana. Pax Americana is in absolute decline as the U.S. starts to lose its global reach. That doesn't mean we won't see Pax Americana as a regional or a patchy sort of imposition, if you like, of a rules-based order in parts of the world. China, the People's Republic of China, is unlikely to make it even beyond a small regional power if it's not careful. It's really in great economic disarray. What's interesting, however, is how the U.S., thinking literally only in the very, very short term at this stage, is kowtowing to Beijing. At least the U.S. administration is doing that. Antony Blinken's visit to Beijing, which was supposed to have taken place earlier this year, but was delayed when the PRC floated some, shall we say, trial balloons over the United States, these reconnaissance balloons, which caused the U.S. to lose face and have to postpone the visit of Blinken to Beijing. Eventually, they reinstated the visit, and Blinken went and was there this week. But the reality, more importantly, is that before Blinken went, the People's Republic of China, the Foreign Ministry of the People's Republic of China, said that, yes, they would agree to meet with Blinken. However, they then went on to label the United States as being this dirty, untrustworthy, lying, cheating, whatever, whatever. And the insults coming from Beijing in the build-up to Biden's visit should have made any normal U.S. government say, well, it doesn't appear as though we are able to talk in a civil manner, therefore we will once again cancel or postpone this visit until you're ready to behave responsibly. However, even with the gross insults from the Communist Party of China, Blinken went to Beijing, met the foreign minister there, met with Xi Jinping, but literally he went as a supplicant, not talking on equal terms or as the great U.S. superpower in terms of being the superior power. He went as a supplicant, as a to kowtow, to use the Chinese phrase, to kowtow to Beijing. And that was all that Beijing wanted. It wanted a demonstration that the United States was deferring to it, that the United States was weak and that Beijing was all-powerful. The reality, of course, is that the United States economy is, relatively speaking, sound, albeit depressed at the moment, whereas the People's Republic of China's economy is probably 40 to 50% as strong as the Chinese government says it is. So they are in dire straits, and yet they have the Biden administration kowtowing to it, doing things to support Beijing. And because Beijing, as they said during Biden's visit, needs more investment and more trade. It's too late. It's not going to happen anyway. But what we have is a United States which has been humiliated by this visit. The PRC would not even agree to reinstating US-PRC direct military lines of communication, which are essential if you're going to tamp down potentially inflammatory actions or to stop incidents turning into a conflict. So basically, Blinken's visit to Beijing was a disaster. Did it show that communications had been reestablished with Beijing? Well, yes, but on Beijing's terms, not on the United States' terms, or not even on equitable terms. So really, this last week has been a triumph for Xi Jinping, even though he has not got a lot to be very happy about, given the state of his economy, the state of internal security in the PRC, which is not good, and the outlook for the People's Liberation Army, which is also not good, given that there are lots of fragilities and weaknesses being exposed within the People's Liberation Army at this particular time.
Wang Yi, the chief diplomat, took the occasion of Mr. Blinken's visit to lecture him for some time, I think, about how Taiwan is the core of the Chinese Communist Party's ambitions to reunite with the rogue province of Taiwan. There are voices in the Pentagon, retired and active. There are opinions in political circles that China is capable of an attack on Taiwan, and that attack would involve the whole region, Japan, Australia, Indonesia, the U.S., certainly India. How do you measure China's posture at this moment? Because, as you've said, the economy is as weak as it could have been at any point in the last 10 years, the time of Xi Jinping in office. He does not have any magic formula to get out of this. They're going to try more stimulus. That's not going to work. Pushing on a string. So does that make them more or less likely to go kinetic and attack Taiwan?
Well, going kinetic would be an act of desperation by Xi Jinping. However, he may have nowhere else to go if he sees the entire country falling apart. He may see this as something which would unify the population of the PRC. And there is a large sector of the population which has been insulated from any study of history or news who think that Taiwan is a renegade province when, in fact, it's not the case. What we see is that the renegade province is really the mainland China, because the continuity of the legal structure of China is with the Republic of China, which is the legal successor to Imperial China following the collapse of the imperial government in 1911-1912. So basically, the People's Republic of China is the renegade. It hasn't any legitimacy. The People's Republic of China never controlled the island of Taiwan. So if anything, they're just trying to have a land grab And there are really good strategic reasons for them to want to do so, to grab Taiwan. But there's no way that they can do that now and see the Communist Party survive in any coherent fashion, because there will be so much destruction on all sides. Yes, of course, there'll be massive losses for Japan, the United States, Australia, the Philippines in particular, Vietnam, and India. But there is this ring of concerned states around the PRC, from South Korea, Japan, Taiwan, the Philippines, Vietnam, and some of the ASEAN countries, but particularly India. And at the back of all of that, Russia is sufficiently angry and concerned about Beijing that it would then also push its fortunes to regain dominance in Central Asia, to consolidate its holdings over the Russian Far East, which China has said it wants to take back. So Beijing is in a very poor state. Xi Jinping reminds you of Turkey's President Erdogan, who went into office saying that he would have no conflicts with his neighbors and that he would win strategically by having friends on all sides, and almost immediately declared war on all of his neighbors. So Turkey is surrounded by countries which don't like it and are prepared to go to war against it. So too is the People's Republic of China, surrounded by adversaries, and with the state of the PRC economy, it has nowhere to go. That makes it very unstable, and that's what we have to be wary of, because the PRC does have some very powerful weapons which it could use indiscriminately, and that would cost the world enormously. And like as how we started the program today, the fact is that wars are driven by emotions, and we can see irrational decisions being supported by large swaths of populations on both sides of the equation, both sides of the Pacific, and that's the where some wisdom and experience is needed to tamp this down. And it's not being done by the likes of Antony Blinken, who went to Beijing and literally encouraged it in its expansionist thinking.
Gregory Copley is the editor and publisher of Defense and Foreign Affairs. We're going to turn to England and the King Charles Report. There have been several ceremonies that Gregory's going to help me understand the significance in these last days. Also, there's a big win for Australia to talk about. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Hey, it's Bubba Wallace from 2311 Racing. You know what it feels like forever? Sitting on a plane waiting for takeoff. Good thing I've got Chumba Casino. With daily boosts and social casino games on tap, this is the kind of fun that makes time fly. Why not turbocharge your downtime? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.